You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, here we go, everyone. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. This week, we welcome our special guest, Deborah Voigt of BewitchingBee.com in Wisconsin, bringing us what's sure to be an amazing discussion on mediumship. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Deborah Voigt. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome everybody to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. It's Monday night. You know what that means. Magic Mondays on Hoodoo Psychics. Take a moment, jump on over to the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page, drop a comment on the Magic Mondays post, and get entered to win your chance at a free 15-minute reading with your favorite Hoodoo Psychic. Lots of great folks out there ready and waiting to help. Again, Magic Mondays on Hoodoo Psychics. And I have to say how excited I am to be on the air tonight. We were joking a little bit in the chat heading up to the show today about, we have the show on air. That's a bonus over last week. We have the chat up and running, which our friends at the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour last night, we made it work. We made it work. And I know folks might have been a little surprised hearing me make a little guest appearance there. But it was a fantastic show last night on unusual figural candles, kind of the folk conjure forte. But yeah, we're back. We're on the air. Yay. before we get jumping in too far, let's toss it over to Reverend James. How are things with you, Reverend James?
Well, here upstairs, I'm working on some new labels for our vigil candles at Folk Faith Ministries and soon to be for sale at Folk mysticsmagesandmagicalplaces@conjure.com. I'm actually actively doing that right now in between, switching between the chat and making the stuff play and everything else.
You know, Reverend James has, he doesn't toot his own horn very loudly when it comes to these things. These new labels that he's working on are phenomenal, and I am so excited to unveil those. I'm chomping at the bit, like, are you done? Did you get another one done? How about, are you done? Really can't wait to unveil those and getting them out there in the public for y'all to enjoy. Little bit of extra excitement too was that because for several weeks now we've had our Etsy store open at folkconjure.etsy.com with the figural candles. We did finally manage to populate them all onto folkconjure.com. The store is open. So pay attention. Watch upcoming weeks. We have a lot of stuff that we're planning on adding. And you'll hear about it here first.
And you'll get a deal at Folk Conjure versus the Etsy store. And that's only the people that listen to our show know.
Yep. The prices at folkconjure.com are definitely much more favorable than on Etsy. However, both fantastic places to stop and shop. And send us a message if you have any questions. We might give you some sneak peeks at what's coming around.
Ooh.
All right. So I am thrilled to welcome our guest tonight, Miss Deborah Voith from BewitchingBee.com, which is yet another fantastic place to go and check out on the web, y'all. That's BewitchingBee.com. Check it out. A lot of great stuff. We've missed you, Miss Deb. It's been a little bit. I know we've had you on with Miss Elvira, from your co-host, mm-hmm. from The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron. But flying solo tonight, how are things going with you?
Oh, things are going pretty well lately. I was on the Lucky Mojo show with Kat and Conjure Man last Sunday, talking about healing spirits, and that was a lot of fun. And then this past Thursday, Elvira and I were talking on the Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron about developing intuitive and psychic abilities. And then next week we're going to be, or this week, Thursday, we're going to be talking about working with crystals for healing and divination. And so I'm really enjoying kind of this nice streak lately, talking about some of my favorite things. I mean, I love all the topics we discussed, but a couple of them are kind of closer to my heart. And that would be, you know, developing our gifts and anything having to do with spirit work. I really enjoy those a lot. And this past week, as far as client work, I've been doing like a bit more mentoring and magical coaching. You know, with different ways of tapping into and unfolding our abilities. And did an afternoon on Hoodoo Psychics. And so I'm trying to pick up Friday afternoons, you know, consistently, and then maybe one other day. Yeah, it's been going pretty well.
Sounds like it's rocking and rolling. You know, it's really, you know, it's really kind of interesting to me because for myself, I've been approached quite a bit recently for magical coaching and teaching in different spiritual mm-hmm. avenues. You know, it's kind of mm-hmm. heartwarming in a way, and it's also very exciting in that, you know, folks are, you know, starting to pay attention to their gifts and their, you know, finding that path. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the wonderful things about, you know, yourself, Reverend James, and I, you know, we are members mm-hmm. of AIR, the Association of Independent mm-hmm. Readers and Root Workers. You know, there is a very great group of folks together that, you know, we provide services, we provide teaching, we provide support. And, you know, another member of AIR, JD, is hanging out in our chat with us tonight. You know, for anybody that's looking, definitely take the time to swing by AIR. You know, there's so mm-hmm. many individuals that are just ready and waiting to help you along your path. It's a fantastic organization, and actually take some time while you're at the Readers and Root Workers page to kind of poke around and nose around. There's a lot of really great information there. The tech team every Tuesday is putting out a brand new page, adding to the plethora of information. Well, plethora or wealth? We'll go with wealth. The wealth of information that's already out there. You know, Miss Kat and Nagashiva tirelessly bringing these pages to life. The help of Papa Newt, Reverend James jumps in there. I try to get in as much as often as I possibly can with that as well. But there's all kinds of stuff from divination to different kinds of spell work, information on the saints, information on different deities. There are so many pages. Oh, and JD, another fantastic resource for everyone. Because, you know, we will get into a little bit of talking about development with mediumship tonight, I'm sure. You know, the forum at Lucky Mojo, luckymojo.com, forum.luckymojo.com. I've had way too much coffee today. I can't keep my mouth flowing down. You can actually go out and ask questions of other practitioners and those of us that jump on from AIR to help moderate these forums. A lot of great stuff out there as well. And Phyllis Margaret Gabor, thank you. Reminding me again, hoodooworkshops.com. The virtual workshops from the past Hoodoo Heritage Festivals that were hosted every year. Since 2019, I believe it's 2020 through 2024 are out there. Correct, Reverend James?
Yeah, that should be right.
Okay. Lots of great classes. Miss Robbins out there, John St. Germain, Miss Kat. Deb is out there joining the panel from the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Reverend James, myself, JD is there. So many great faces, so many great names, so much awesome, awesome information. Conjure Man, I could go on and on. And there's more coming. So, got to stay tuned. All right. So, let's make sure that we dedicate a good portion of tonight to this discussion on mediumship. This will be a good spot, Reverend James, to jump in for a few messages from our sponsors. And we'll be right back with Miss Deb and mediumship.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Now, for some quick announcements about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. Tuesday, February 27th on the Crystal Silence League and Syndication with John St. Germain will be the topic of Astral Power Part 6. And Tuesday, February 27th on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in Syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix Fay will be Ask a Witch Part 3. And Wednesday, February 28th on the Now You Know show in Syndication with Professor Porterfield, we'll discuss Jericho and Chamomile. And Thursday, February 29th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Deborah Boyd will be the topic of Crystals for Healing and Divination. And Sunday, March 3rd at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Work Hour with Miss Cat and Conjure Man, they welcome Doc Murphy bringing the topic of the Citadel Deck in an Oracle Hour. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. And just can't hide my excitement. Mediumship is one of my favorite topics. I've been a practicing medium myself for roughly 20 some odd years. And, you know, it's been one of the most fulfilling aspects of my life. So excited to bring this topic with Miss Deb. So Deb, why don't you take it away? Let's kick us off on this discussion.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I hope you guys couldn't hear me coughing. I was trying to cover up my microphone there. I think I still have a little residual from the COVID I had last month. But I am really excited to talk about this topic, too, because it's one of my favorite things to do. And it's something I've been doing for, I would say that ever since I was a kid, I've seen spirits, I've talked to spirits. And I think I had the raw ability, but then I would say like back in 2008, 2009, I started getting, you know, learning and developing and really like tuning into what mediumship is all about and giving readings. And so I guess to define mediumship, a spirit medium is someone who's able to and or hear and talk to the spirits of the dead. And this person serves as a channel for the flow of information from spirit. And there's different types of mediumship. I believe I like the practice of evidential mediumship. And so that's the process of bringing through evidence by bringing through specific enough information so that the recipient can verify and confirm the presence of a known spirit. And that's usually, I mean, that can be in any form of mediumship, but I would say, you know, mental mediumship or the more rare physical mediumship. But I think that in the little ad or the blurb about the show tonight, it said it used the term psychic medium. And when we hear the terms medium or psychic medium and intuitive medium thrown around a lot, but for me, those terms really mean something. They mean, I like to interpret them as to take those terms to indicate where the information is coming from. So
right.
A psychic medium would be, you know, would describe a medium who receives their information both psychically from the recipient or client and also via mediumship from the spirit. And I identify as a psychic medium, and my tendency is towards, you know, always trying to do evidential medium for mediumship first. So how about you, Art?
You know, I would classify myself much the same as a psychic medium. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, there are so many different forms that mediumship can take. You know, a lot of people get drawn into the, and we talked about this in a previous show with Papa G about, you know, popular culture weighing mm-hmm. in on defining the nature of magic and mysticism and mediumship and psychic abilities, et cetera, et cetera. That was a pretty interesting show. And we just kept coming up with more and more examples of, you know, things and, mm-hmm. you know, discussing them in depth. But, you know, and you also brought up physical mediumship, which
mm-hmm.
having sat through several seances with physical mediums, that is some pretty impressive stuff. It's been really, when you're sitting there, and they've done it in white light, in red light, sometimes it's, you know, more dark and dim. But mm-hmm. I've been in rooms where it's completely, you know, it's like you're shopping at Walmart, you know, the lights are so bright.
Really? Wow.
And just apports falling from the mm-hmm. ceiling, and you'll be sitting
wow.
there and hear something fall behind you. You turn around and there's like a coin sitting there,
mm-hmm.
Or a pile of coins. You know, physical mediumship mm-hmm. is a very interesting phenomena in and of itself, you know, where the medium is able to connect energetically enough mm-hmm. with spirit and provide enough energy to be able to mm-hmm. make manifest physical items from the spiritual realm. And a lot of these
mm-hmm.
apports, or that they're called, you know, they're meant mm-hmm. as gifts for those sitting. It's a gift for, you know, the opportunity to make that connection. But there was actually, go ahead.
That's really interesting. I don't think I ever have actually been in, or have been with someone who is doing physical mediumship. I know that it's, lots of time it's done in darkness or with the red light, and you know, you have knocks or raps, apports. I think that, is table tipping like a form of physical mediumship, or is that, I think that's in a different category.
It's one of those things. It kind of depends on who you talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks consider it just a part of psychic mediumship, you know, in much the same way that one would use a spirit board or a pendulum,
sure.
or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Or
I actually have a spirit trumpet. Have you ever seen
as
one
do
of those?
As do I.
Oh, do you?
It was mine. Was a gift.
See, we are meant to be talking about this together. Mine was a gift too. There is a well-known medium in this area, who I'll say her name, Mary Ellen Pride, who gifted that to me many, many years ago, and I have it hanging up. I've never used it, like in a seance or anything like that, but I was always fascinated idea.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of people ask about trumpet mediumship as a, mm-hmm. you know, what the trumpet actually is. And, you know, you kind of have that mental picture of, you know, a marching band, you know, you're blowing the horn sort
right.
of thing. And that's not necessarily mm-hmm. what it is. It looks
mm-hmm.
like more like a megaphone
mm-hmm.
than it is
yeah.
a horn, like a brass trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And predominantly, you know, especially if you're sitting seance, you'll set
mm-hmm.
it in the center of the group that's sitting, And, you know, provided spirit wants to connect with you, they will utilize the trumpet to kind of amplify their voice and amplify the sound.
Yes.
It's a fantastic sort of way to work, actually. And one of the things, there was a seance group that Reverend James and I sat with for many, many, many months. And we, on the trumpet, we would actually, at first, you know, most of the time we were sitting in darkness, but we there was actually glow in the dark stickers on the trumpet, and you'd be able you would see them
moving
in the darkness. That was part, one of the kind of ways that we could see it go up and going. I've been hit in the head with one.
Oh, wow.
You know, trumpet mediumship is, it's a form of, you know, they do use the ectoplasm to kind of generate a rudimentary form of diaphragm to be able to generate the sounds that come through it. Yeah, it's not as much of a practiced form of mediumship as others are.
I always thought that the physical mediumship was much more rare. Like, I know in the past I've gone to the spiritualist camp in Wisconsin here. It's called Wonawak.
Camp Wonawak.
Yes. And they, I've never saw like a physical, any physical mediumship there, but, you know, plenty of mental and evidential mediumship.
The spiritualist community at Lilydale, at the Lilydale Assembly in Western New York, they do regularly have visiting physical mediums that will come in. Sometimes they are public events that are hosted by the assembly. Sometimes they are private events that are hosted by individuals that live there.
That's real interesting. I just have not been exposed to the physical mediumship at all. I've been exposed a whole lot and have used mental mediumship a lot, which I think physical mediumship is objective. At the time it's done in the darkness or with a red light and, you know, can involve, you know, the materialization or transfiguration and the knocks, the independent voice, and apports, which is pretty exciting. But I think with mental mediumship, it's more subjective and it involves the clairs, clairvoyance, clairaudience, claircognizance, and clairsentience are probably the most common. And I
love that you call them the clairs, because that's what I go. Let's just talk about the clairs.
Sure. The
like they're a Southern Belle.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it sounds like they're sisters. I've seen that, you know, mental mediumship can be, you know, basically tapping into the clairs and blending your energy with spirit. And then, you know, it can also be inspirational, where it's just influenced by spirit or using different tools like automatic writing or psychic art. I think that sometimes there's kind of like an in-between state of mediumship that is trance mediumship or overshadowing, where the medium blends more with spirit. And I also think that spiritual healing is a form of mediumship sometimes. Do you have any favorite pop culture mediums, Art?
You know, I don't tend to follow the pop culture mediums. I do so. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, we do have a couple quick questions to backtrack a little bit here in the chat. Because I know while we were talking about seance, Troll T asked, mm-hmm. why a red light? And this red light is not like a red light bulb, like a huge red light bulb. You're talking, you know, if you're in a, say, a 12 by 12 foot room, it might be about the strength of two Christmas light bulbs. It's enough of a low light where you can generate, you can see, but it doesn't affect affect the spirit.
Oh, sorry. Right.
No, go ahead.
I know one of the reasons that they use the red light is because ectoplasm is light sensitive.
Yes.
And so if you have like bright lights on, it's not going to form. And lots of times that's the forming of the ectoplasm is what helps, whether it's, coming from the voice box or, whatever it is that spirit is using to communicate. But yeah, the red light is to prevent, or to aid the formation of ectoplasm.
That is very true.
Yeah. And then go ahead.
No, continue on.
No, I was, I don't know. I was just, do you have like, is any one of your clairs more predominant? Or do you kind of go on all cylinders there?
Okay. For myself, once I have raised that vibration and am ready to, whether it's to sit
mm-hmm.
Seance or, do gallery readings or what have you, it's mm-hmm. all thrusters on go. I am very much assailed by smells.
Mm-hmm.
I hear spirit, I see spirit. The empathy side of things kick in and, I can feel the emotions behind what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Deb?
It's funny. I kind of get a bit of all of them, but when I was younger, I used to be, I would say predominantly clairvoyant, or just a clear seeing. Mm-hmm. And then also clairsentient. But then I've noticed as I've gotten older, especially when I got to late 40s, early 50s, I really became much more clairaudient and claircognizant, where it's like you just know. And so I get like a lot of words, a lot of, words or phrases, things said to me, and then a little bit of imaging. So that's, I think that, I don't know if that happens to everyone, but I think that I'm sure, especially if we're developing or attempting to become stronger in a different area, it probably changes for all mediums, I would think, over time.
One thing that a lot of students who are working to develop their mediumship abilities,
mm-hmm.
I find really kind of become, frustrated or, you know, they feel that they're not doing something right because, you know, it's not all whiz bang, everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some mediums are just clairvoyant. Some mediums are just clairaudient. You know,
Okay, I have to tell you a story about that when you, I'm sorry, when you're done.
I was just going to say, you know, our abilities are as unique as we are and will take many different forms.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. No, and I, you know, what that made me think of was that I've discovered that just to be really simple and go with what works for me, because I went through a period of time a few years back where I probably was listening to someone on a show or something, and they were talking about how much they use symbols and, you know, how they had this whole, you know, encyclopedia of symbols in their psychic repertoire or their mediumistic repertoire. And I thought, well, I got a few symbols. I don't really do that. And so I tried to really, like, incorporate more symbols into what I was doing, and it made me crazy. And, you know, I realized after about a month of doing that, it's like, what are you doing, Deb? You already get the information very quickly. Why would you try to complicate it and add that extra layer of having to interpret the symbol? I mean, I do use some symbols, but not as much as what I was thinking after listening to this person. I was like, oh, you know, this is, to be a better medium, I should do that. And I realized that, no, it's like we're all different. And I think that if we look at ourselves astrologically, I'm an Aries, and I'm a triple fire. And even if I'm, whether I'm receiving a reading or giving a reading, I usually want things to be very direct and to the point and, you know, to get to the meat of the matter right away rather than, you know, going around it. And so, and that's how I receive information from spirit also. And so, so that was probably one of the most frustrating experiences I ever had, but I really learned something from that. Because I can tend to complicate things sometimes. And what I learned is that I already had a very simple but great way to connect and receive information from spirit and to process it. And so, you know, sometimes I do get symbols, but that's not like a big part of my thing. But if anyone does use symbols a lot, you know, that's great. You know, like you were saying, we're all so different. And so it, you know, it really depends on, I think, on our personality and how we best, you know, process information.
You know, that's such a huge thing, though, that you just called out, is, you know, developing that language between you and your guides, you and the spirits. It is very unique to you, where, you know, person A might have the entire Encyclopedia Britannica of symbols and this and that and the other thing. You know, you might have a handful, but it's a quality, not a quantity thing. And when you're trying to learn, little tip for anybody out there that's practicing, what one thing means to you might not be what that means to spirit. So if spirit shows you a picture of an apple, you see an apple, that might not necessarily mean apple to them. You see, just as an example, you know, you see this a lot in colors. You know, some people see a lot with colors. And colors, they do have their attributes. You know, green prosperity, white is, you know, spiritual energy, purple healing, or spiritual connections, different things like that. But where you know, if you think anger, the first time, as soon as I said anger, I can guarantee almost everybody thought red. If you were thinking about a color, your spirit guide's anger might be purple. Anger might be pink. Anger could be white.
That's why it's so important to give what you get.
Yes.
And not alter it at all. I think that that's like one of the most important things to know is that, you know, don't censor it, don't alter it, don't try to change it. Don't try to, I would say a lot of times, don't try to interpret it. Just give it as it's coming to you.
You know, in a lot of cases, I've used the pendulum in some of these instances. It's like, okay, you know, I'll be sitting working with one of my guides, pendulum, real easy way to get a yes or no answer. It's like, okay, I think red is anger. Do you? Yes or no? Do you think purple is anger? Do you think blue is anger? Do you think green is anger? And and really going down the list, I've done the same thing with table tipping, which I know we mentioned a little bit earlier. Table tipping is a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite things to do. Loud as all get out sometimes, a lot of fun. And we've actually, just a quick aside, I mean, we've actually had tables levitate on us, which was wild when you have a bunch of people standing around a table trying to keep their hands on the top of it, and there's nothing holding it up.
Yes, my grandma used to do table tipping with us when we were kids.
It's so much fun.
It can get wild.
it very much can. Also, quick story on this one. Eight mediums sitting around a 12-foot-long solid oak dining room table. And we're all just hanging out, leaning over the table. Next thing you know, it started going. Can you imagine? I can't even describe to you the sound that this thing made as the legs were coming up off the ground and hitting the floor. That was impressive. That was actually that was just outside of Lilydale that happened. That was so much fun.
Wow! Oh my goodness!
But. You know, learning the language of your guides is key to development.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, you know, for people who are starting to develop have probably heard it over and over again, but meditation is always number one.
Yes.
For any kind of psychic or mediumship development. And I'll tell you, I've tried a ton of different meditations, and my favorite is still like that sitting in the power. Because what it does is you sit in the power of your own spirit and you become very familiar with your own energy. And then you extend your aura outward and connect to, you know, psychically you're connecting to the other person or the other place or thing that you're trying to read. And you connect your aura to theirs and, you know, read that energy. And then as a medium, you're going to push your aura out even further in the sitting in the power meditation and then connect with spirit. And the whole process of that is really amazes me because it's so simple. And it's also giving time to spirit, because when you sit in the power of spirit, you're giving them time to get to know you. And so they'll, I always kind of imagine like when I'm sitting in the power of spirit that my spirit guides are kind of standing around saying like, oh, here she comes, you know, give her the information quick and direct, otherwise she won't get it. And so they, you know, spirit gets to know you as you're giving time to spirit by sitting in the power of spirit. And so that's probably one of my favorite ones. How about you, Art? Do you have any favorite meditations?
I actually have a list of them. I have one that I really enjoy using when I teach meditation classes. It's a a meditation for raising the vibrations and really, you know, lifting that energy. You know, when we start Mystics and Mages show every week, you know, I holler out there, let's raise that energy. This is a celebration of all of us together, and that I have a meditation that kind
that.
Of brings that about, you know, for the individual. That's something that, mm-hmm. that can be maintained on a regular basis. It's especially helpful.
Yes.
A lot of people use it during the winter months when,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
we're in darkness most of the time. It really helps to bring the light, and it just completely buoys you up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share that out here on Folk Conjure fairly soon. Mm-hmm. And I'll send you a copy, Deb.
Aww.
I did want to, we do have some questions. I'm back a little bit in the chat here.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to touch base on something that there's two questions that kind of intermingle. I want to get your
mm-hmm.
opinion on it here first, is about mediumship in the form of trance and channeling versus physical psychic mediumship. And how does mediumship differ from possession?
Well, the way that I see it is that when you're doing mediumship, so it's kind of different. Like, I say when you're doing like a private session with someone, you're blending your energy. You're blending your energy with the sitter. And then you're first blending energy with the spirit. And so that's like a very consensual, very, you know, shared type of energy to achieve a goal, you know, whether the goal is giving evidence or sending a loved one a message or anything along those lines. And so possession, and I think that often when we do, psychic mediumship, I know that there are times where I'll be in an altered state. And a lot of times I won't even remember what the message was that I gave. And so I believe I do kind of go partially into a trance. And that's me, you know, just tapping into that vibrational level. And, you know, mm-hmm. I kind of put my conscious mind to the side and tap into that vibrational level to get the information and the message. And so the purpose of it is, you know, a shared thing. It's a connection. It's connecting with spirit, connecting the aura of spirit and yourself, the medium. And possession is a totally different thing. Possession or spirit attachments, things along that line, that's very much about, you know, usually the person who ends up having an issue with that usually has
poor protection.
Aura, poor protection and other things like that going on. And, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, and so sometimes
yep.
things will fill that up. And so, you know, that's like a whole different thing. trance and psychic mediumship is more, it's a very positive, very, a very shared type thing. Achieve a great goal.
Yeah, possession.
How about you, Art? What do you think?
Possession is—it's a very aggressive situation. It's
mm-hmm.
against the will. It's
not—it's
mm-hmm. not in camaraderie. It's not in connection with. It's not, you know, in harmony with spirit and the medium. Possession is. It can be very violent. It can be very, I mean,
mm-hmm.
we've all seen the Hollywood depictions, but
mm-hmm.
Where mediumship differs is, like Deb said, you know, it's a mm-hmm. collaboration. It's working together. You know, a lot of I do create, for myself, I do have somewhat of a distinction between channeling mm-hmm. and psychic mediumship, where, you know, psychic mediumship, it's kind of like talking in a crowd with your spirit friends. For me, mm-hmm. channeling is something more where you are literally, you're just bringing through one spirit to address. You know, you'll hear things like Edgar Cayce had very specific spirits that he would channel through. Mm-hmm. The Seth materials are another one where those very specific spirits that were being channeled mm-hmm. by the individuals. Trance is a very interesting one to me. Like you said, you know, in trance, it is a form of physical mediumship in which the spirit entity itself takes over control of the medium's body and uses mm-hmm. their vocal cords and their energy to be able to communicate. Usually the medium is, you know, in a kind of like a sleepish sort of a state. And a lot of times when you hear somebody in trance, you know, their voice will change. You will actually be able to, in depending on, you know, it gets a little bit more difficult when it's, you know, someone who's typically has a high squeaky voice channeling somebody like Wolfman Jack with a really low voice. Mm-hmm. But you get the inflections, you get the tonality, you get all of that, mm-hmm. With trance. It's a very interesting phenomena. Most mediums protect themselves. Like I have a prayer of protection that I say before I start readings or any sort of mediumship moments, you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be something extremely long and drawn out and touching on every point.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't know about you, Deb, but like for myself, I have, it's mm-hmm. just, you know, I call upon the white light of protection. May nothing but good come mm-hmm. to me. May nothing but good go from me. I ask mm-hmm. this in the name of my ancestors and of God. And that's it.
Right. I mean, anytime before I do a reading or mediumship out, I always say a prayer and always surround myself with good energy. And then I also have, you know, a few spirit guides and, a couple of them are kind of more like through gatekeepers, sort of. They don't let anything harmful through. So that, you know, is another layer of protection with it. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people talk about things like, you know, spirit boards being dangerous, you know, the Ouija boards being dangerous and this, that, and the other thing are portals to hell.
I love spirit boards.
Yeah, you know, but you have to say these mm-hmm. type of things in that voice. They're portals to hell.
Right, right.
But, you know, with the right kind of protection, you know, mm-hmm. and actually taking the time to do these types of protection,
No, go ahead. You finish your thought and then I'll jump back in.
No, you know, you build this rapport with the spirit world. You know, it's kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, the little punk
yes.
kid at school who's always getting bullied, you know, starts making friends with the football mm-hmm. team and now the football team's watching out for him. It's
mm-hmm.
it's kind of
mm-hmm.
like that with spirit too. You protect yourself,
yes.
you build your posse, and they will help protect you as well.
Mhm. Mhm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you know, and that kind of just like that whole fear thing though does bring up I think that one of the obstacles or a couple of the obstacles or what I could even say, venture to say, the two main obstacles for anyone developing their mediumship is the obstacles of ego and fear. And so, you know,
yep.
fear of there being bad spirits that are going to get me, or, you know, fear of not being right, fear of, you know, looking silly, fear, you know, there's so many different fears, you know, and
yep.
that, you know, I think that that's like a really important thing to just know that that's those are like typical obstacles, you know, because it's, you're taking a risk and you're being in service spirit. And so I know when I first started doing mediumship, I would get information and I would start to censor it, like, oh no, I can't say that. That sounds horrible. Or that sounds so silly, you know, but that's all part of like the learning process, is that you learn that you give what you get, because even if it doesn't make sense to me, lots of times it's going to make sense to the recipient.
It's not for us.
right. And so, you know, and the whole thing of like the ego part goes hand in hand with fear, you know, that, oh, I might look silly or I might not be right. It's like I have to take that I just out of the equation, because the whole process of doing mediumship, it's not about me. It's about the person that, and it's about spirit. So it's about being in service to spirit to deliver their message to the recipient, to their loved one. And so that's, you know, that's what it has to be about. And so it's, yeah, those two buggers, you know, will pop up. I think even if you've been doing mediumship for a long time,
yep.
I think we have to be careful. It's like one thing that I kind of liked is that if I'm wondering about ego, and if I say, oh, do you think I'm having problems with ego? That's actually a good sign that I'm not having problems with ego, because I'm checking it. You know, I'm
right.
you know, seeing if it's there or not. And, you know, a lot of things can, if we start comparing ourselves or doing anything like that, that it just holds us back. We're each so unique and so individual. I'll tell
you
one of the other things. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, funny story that goes along with what you just shared is, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's easy to kind of fall back into these traps of, oh, I can't say these things, you know, but in reminding ourselves that these, what we're getting is not for us, it's for the recipient. It was roughly about a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago now, I was mm-hmm. doing readings at a local mystic fair, and individual came up to me and she mm-hmm. wanted to, she was, you know, trying to get in contact with her deceased partner. He had passed on, and, you know, he came through and was giving me information, and I could see the look on her face, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
she was questioning, and mm-hmm. I looked at her, you know, sweet woman. She just, you know,
mm-hmm.
she just looked for all the world like, you know, even if you say dang, you would offend her. And I looked at her and I said, do you mind if I just tell you exactly what's being said? And she said, no, please do. And I let the F-bombs roll. And she goes, oh my God, that's him. And
oh, that's so funny.
But it highlights, you know, we can't censor this. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get
mm-hmm.
what you're going to
yes.
get. And not only are you
absolutely.
Doing yourself a disservice as a reader by censoring, you're
mm-hmm.
doing your client a disservice as well.
Yes. Yes. You know, that's kind of funny, because I had an experience where I was doing a card reading for someone at our local shop, you know, and I was, before she came in, I was sensing spirit by her, but she didn't ask for a spirit reading, so I didn't go there right away. But then with her questions, all of her questions were about four siblings. And so, you know, I started doing a spread and doing cards on each of the siblings. And it wasn't until after the reading that she told me that everything I said was spot on and that two of her siblings were dead. And I was like, oh, that's who I sensed sitting next to you when you were out in the waiting area. And so it's like, that, you know, I don't usually use cards in mediumship, but that was kind of like a reinforcer that, you know, you can end up using just about any tool for mediumship or spirit reading, although I tend not to use any tools. But there's nothing wrong with using tools and connecting with spirit that way.
You know, that actually goes back to a question. I was just looking at it saying, okay, we're going to jump in with this question, but about divination being a type of mediumship using complicated tools. In some cases, divination is, you know, divination is a form of development, psychic divination. There's a connection. It's patterns in putting these patterns together. And, you know, there is that little twinkle of mediumship in using divination for myself, because I'm very easily kind of drawn into group conversations. So, you know, when doing readings, when I'm using, I'll use cards, pendulum, et cetera, as a way to kind of focus myself in and stay on topic versus, you know, sitting there and talking about one thing and then it's, oh, look, there's something shiny over here. And I'm off and running onto a new tangent. Rebecca Moody actually asked a really interesting question too. How important is it to have a teacher for training in mediumship, or is it self-taught? I'll let you go.
Oh, that's a good question. Wow, because I've had like so many different experiences. I have tried like a number of different teachers in the past, and a lot of them were, I mean, they weren't terrible or anything, but they weren't really, I felt like I wasn't really getting what I needed from them. And then I came across a teacher that was phenomenal, and so I really, really liked his way of teaching. He was, you know, maybe it's because of the way I process information. He was very matter-of-fact, very down-to-earth, very, you know, taking, like, these esoteric concepts and putting them into steps that made a lot of sense to me. And so so I think that it depends. Like, if you can find a good teacher that resonates with you, like trying to find a good therapist, trying to find, you know, a good babysitter, it's like you have to, like, you have to see. You have to see who you can come across. And if you don't feel like that person is really helping you in any way or adding to your knowledge base or your experience, then just move on and find somebody else. I would say, in my opinion, I think it would be far better to teach yourself in some ways than to have a teacher who isn't serving you for what you need. But going beyond that, I'll just add one more thing, is that what I do think is really important, though, is practice, is to find somebody else, you know, or hopefully a couple somebody else's. You can form a spirit development circle, or you can partner up with a few different aspiring mediums and practice on each other, because that's the stuff right there that's going to make all the difference in the world. Because you can't really learn in isolation. And so, yeah.
It's very true. It's a social sport.
Yes, yes.
You know, you hit definitely. The nail on the head in a very big way, though. Is it necessary to have a teacher? No. Why? because these are gifts we all have. We've been conditioned to forget them. We've been conditioned to demonize them. And these are, but these are innate gifts that we all have. When you look at, you know, the symbolism of things like, you know, the flower of life, the tree of life, things that, like that, everything is connected. We are all connected. Does it help to have a teacher? Yes, depending on how, what's the word I want to use here? Focused you are. Somebody to help you keep on track, somebody to kind of guide, but somebody, like Deb said, that meets you where you are and is not trying to force feed you their way of doing mediumship or being a medium. Someone that is going to take the time to get to know you and meet you where you are. It's huge. And the difference can be extraordinary.
Absolutely. It really can. Yeah, because not every medium is a good teacher. I mean, I think that as a medium, if you were also a teacher, I think it would be really important for you to know that that not everybody is going to do it the way that you do it. What works for you does not mean that it's going to work for everybody else. And so having that broader concept and then working within that is, I think, really vital. I know.
You know, we've all had jobs where, you know, the bosses are ostensibly called leaders, and you know they might be a manager, but they not necessarily a leader. Same thing goes with teachers. You might be a great medium, but you might suck at teaching.
You know
it really is a balance.
And I did have a teacher for a very short time that was very, very into symbolism. And I kept trying, I just couldn't get it. Like for some of that stuff, I just couldn't. And so, you know, at first I started, filling with self-doubt and like, oh, I'm just not, you know, getting it. But then, you know, it's like, no, I realized that I have a way different process than that person does. And that's okay.
Nope. You know, not every medium needs to have symbols. Not every medium needs to use colors in different ways. Not every medium can, like we've already said, can hear, can see. You know, it's going. Your flavor will rise to the top if you have a good teacher, or if you're focused and truly doing the meditations and things to bring this about.
Yep, absolutely. So another thing that I really like as far as developing is I know a lot of people will do dream journals or psychic development journals. I think mediumship journals are wonderful because you can put in there, like, the reading that you did, and then you can, hopefully, you're in a situation where you can get good feedback on what you read. And then in that way, you'll know and you'll be able to see, you know, where you might need to work on something a little bit more, or you can see what your strength is. And that is invaluable, it's, you know, a mediumship journal.
You know, this is actually a good place. We can also talk about psychic development products. You know, psychic vision oil, psychic vision bath salts, crystals, amethyst, clear quartz, you know, so many different tools that can help you to augment your energies and your abilities and help you to focus your mind. You know, if you find that you're having a hard time clearing your mind and you have a piece of clear quartz, hold that in your hand while you're meditating and just feel that, you know, feel that weight, focus on that weight. And, you know, eventually you'll start to build it. There are many ways of doing this.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I love the psychic development products. I know I've used a few of those over the years, and those are fantastic. And just, you know, find ways to keep challenging yourself. You know, it's hard to develop, you know, in isolation, and just, I think it's good to study with a mentor, you can find a good one, or a group, or even just a couple of partners, and just, you know, try different forms of mediumship, you know, as you develop, you know, whether it's like automatic writing or psychic art, or remote viewing. Those are all just, you know, very, I know something that someone suggested the last time I was teaching a class was role play. Like role play for creating different scenarios and how you would work within it. And so it's not so much about doing the reading or doing the mediumship right there, but it's more about thinking about how you would handle things as they come up. Like if you had somebody come to you and say, oh, you know, I went to this other medium and my son has a drug problem and the other medium told me he's going to end in a year. You know, it's like, okay, well, what would you do with that? You know, and then it's just, you know, kind of role-playing in a way or thinking through different scenarios to see, like, what, you know, what would you do with that? I think it's a really good way to develop.
Very true.
I was kind of wondering if what has been your strangest experience that you've had with your mediumship art?
Oh. Put me on the spot with this one, Deb.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No,
my brain's flipping through the Rolodex. if that's any indication. Because, you know, Reverend James and I, we also do things like go on ghost hunting adventures. And, you know, we visit different places that are known to be haunted. And, you know, so there's experiences there. Okay, I'll share one.
I knew you guys were a good time.
Yeah. Reverend James laughed at me. You know, when he started calling, you know, okay. I think Reverend James knows where this story is going. We were a haunted facility in just outside of Newcastle, Pennsylvania, Hillview Manor. And, you know, we're exploring the building and we happened across this great room. And I thought, you know, I felt it. I felt the vibes. I'm like, this is a good place. Let's sit here and chill. So, you know, I had kind of my Frady Cat moment for that. It just came out of nowhere. It, you know, we're sitting there and, you know, we hear a little tinkling sound and look across the room. Okay, there's a piano. Spirits are with us. And as we're sitting there, we're hearing these large dogs barking. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there going, I look at him, I'm like, do you hear that? And, you know, he heard it, I heard it. And, you know, I don't know why my brain went to kind of like, you know, Hollywood moment, Charmed, hellhounds. He starts going and whistling and going, yeah, here, boy. I'm like, don't you do that right now. You know, freak me out for a second. That's a funny story.
Yeah.
Probably one that stands out most in my mind is I'd been having this dream of this individual for several years, actually. Could never figure out who this was. Mm-hmm. And my family, we used to own a hunting camp in if anybody's ever heard of this town, I will be shocked. Grand Valley, Pennsylvania. I think its population like 31.
Okay.
But we had an old farmhouse that was used as a hunting camp, or just a place to hang out if you weren't a hunter. And, you know, eventually over the years, the building started to deteriorate. And what I decided one weekend to go up there to start to salvage some pieces. And out of the ceiling in the kitchen, a part of the ceiling had caved in between the first and the second floor. And wouldn't you know it, out of that ceiling had fallen a framed photograph of this individual that I had been having these dreams of that was trying to get a hold of me. And apparently was somebody that was prompting me to try to take better care of the property. They were a former owner of the house. The house was built in like 1880, and I think it came into my family, if I remember right, in 1950s. But, you know, I was always somebody that tended the property, tended the yard, the land, and everything. So that's one of the more interesting moments that I've had.
Wow. I've had like a number of odd things come up. For a little less than 2 years, I volunteered at this missing persons agency, and I was doing kind of like a remote viewing. It ended up being a mediumship reading, and it took me to where the person was, but she was talking to me, although she had been murdered, but she was talking to me, and halfway through her talking, she went from English to Spanish, and I did not understand what she was saying, and so I wrote it down phonetically, and then I set it into an app later on to translate. And it was stuff about her father and stuff like that. But that was a really strange, you know, there's not been, I don't think, any other times where I've had, like, a spirit speaking to me in a different language. And then I'll just tell you one other story. Is the most bizarre thing I've ever had happen, though, was back in the early 90s. And my kids were young. I have four kids, and they were all in the car with me. And I was exploring, like, different places up north. And I wanted to go look, even though I couldn't afford it. I would pretend like I had money, you know, and I would go and look at these different properties. And they were just pieces of land. They weren't houses or anything. And so I went, like, into north central Wisconsin, and I'm driving around a number of hours away from the house, and I'm in the middle of nowhere. And I think my oldest child was about 14 and the youngest was 7, and they, three of them fell asleep. And me and my youngest son, Justin, he was sitting in the front seat with me, and we're driving, we're in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of the woods, there's no towns or anything close by, and this music starts playing. And it's like a music, I'm calling it music, but I don't even know exactly what it was. It was kind of like music. And it was filled the car, you know, and I looked at Justin and I'm like, what is that? I'm like, turn the radio off. And he's like, and then he looked at me, he's like, Mom, it's not on. And that music stayed with us for about 10 minutes or so as we're, like, you know, driving 60, 70 miles an hour down this, you know, two-lane highway in the middle of the woods. And when the music stopped, the other three kids woke up. And we started talking about what we had heard. And, of course, my oldest daughter is like, I heard it. And we're like, no, you didn't. You were sleeping. But it was, the funny thing about it was that years later when I was doing, I was studying this visionary magic called Quaria. And what they do is they have you, you journey into the void, and you go to the abyss. And in the abyss, there's the Sandalphon angels. And the Sandalphon angels, when you enter that area, there's and they, when they speak, it sounded just like the music that we heard in the car so many years before. And I just was like, it shocked me. It shocked me because all those years, I never knew what that was. I've told this story over and over many times. And when I was going through that whole visionary process and I heard that, I was like, oh, you know. And so that, you know, to me, that's, yeah, that was one of the strangest experiences I had.
That's so cool. You know,
yeah.
Can you believe we've all, honestly almost flown through this entire show? How about some rapid fire questions from the chat? But before we do that, I have a question, Deb, because I have a feeling there's a part two in this show because we haven't had a chance to touch on things like psychometry, using mediumship and spell casting, and so many other forms of mediumship. Would you be interested in coming back really soon and doing a part two?
Yes. Yes, I would.
All right, everybody. Y'all heard it here. See? Sneak peeks for tuning in. So quick fire questions from the chat. Dr. Sweets asks, if you follow the Bible, what do you say or think about the Bible being against mediumship? And he gives several verses here, like Leviticus 19:31, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Or Leviticus 20:27, also in Deuteronomy 18, chapters, sections 10 to 11. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that part of that might be like a warning against charlatans. I always pray before I even, you know, start connecting with spirit. And so my thoughts are, is that I believe that, you know, having that gift or connecting with spirit is, I think it's really all about love and the connection that that carries through. And so I'm not sure, like, with the, you know, I think the Bible is very powerful and it has so many wondrous things within it. I'm not sure what to say about that because I have to admit I'm not knowledgeable about Leviticus or anything like that. I believe the Witch of Endor kind of got a bad rap because all she did was actually tell, you know, him that he wasn't going to win the battle and that it wasn't going to be a good thing. And, you know, and so she, it seems like she almost got a bad rap for actually being honest and, you know,
Exactly. Now, I just want to throw a few things in there in on this discussion. I don't have the verses written out, but there are examples of independent spirit writing in Exodus 24:12, Exodus 31:18, Exodus 32:16, Exodus 34:1, Deuteronomy 5:22, and Deuteronomy 9:10. Spirit writing in Daniel 5:5, trumpet speaking, Exodus 19:13, 16 and 19, Exodus 20:18, Revelations 1:10. Trance, Genesis 15, chapters 2 and 17, Daniel 8 and 8, chapter 8, 18, Daniel 10, 9, Acts 9, 3 and 9, Acts 22 and 17, 2 Corinthians 12:2, I have a list of examples of mediumship from the Bible. I honestly believe that these are gifts that were given to us. They were given to us by souls, by deity, by God, by whomever it is that we each necessarily connect with. So
that's
it for that.
That's a lot right there.
Troll T asks, are there saint spirits or gods of mediumship to whom one might pray and petition for one's development?
Oh, look at that, huh? That is a really, really neat thought. Well, I know a lot of people do, you know, venerate certain mediums, like Edgar Cayce. And
there actually is a saint.
There?
Saint Agabus.
Who is it?
Saint Agabus. A-G-A-B-U-S. The patron saint of fortune tellers. And a name you might be familiar with, Hecate, goddess of magic, mediumship, and the moon.
Oh, yeah. That's mine. That's my lady.
So, yeah. You know, a couple quick answers there. Oh, where are we? Phyllis Margaret Gabor. Okay, we have literally like 60 seconds. I discovered that aphantasia is a struggle for some people. What are your suggestions to help people with that struggle? And aphantasia, it's where your brain doesn't form or use mental images as part of your thinking processes.
Sure.
For me, Phyllis, I would say that, you know, that process of needing mental images is not endemic to mediumship, that we have many other options available to us to be able to do the readings.
Right. Yeah. I used to be more clairvoyant when I was younger, but actually we can get, you know, if we blend our energy with spirits, you can get information so many different ways than just visual.
Very true.
You might get words or, you know, that clairsentience where you feel it. You might get tactile sensations. You might get like an emotional rush over you. There's so many different ways of receiving information.
Oh! And there is our music. That's all the time we have for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed your time with us, everyone, this evening. And until next time we meet, let's keep that magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James. Oh, where is Reverend James?
Uh-oh.
Well, thank you, Deb, of bewitchingbee.com for joining us this week. You know, everybody, next week, third time's a charm. Don't miss Reading Palooza 3 with our special guest, Mama Cole of Druzy Tavern Crystals and Metaphysical in Tennessee. And joining us is Brother Christopher of runeworker.com in California. Be joining Reverend James and myself for our listener appreciation show. Third time's a charm. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find me, Reverend Art, at FolkConjure.com and FolkConjure at FolkConjure on Facebook and Instagram, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.org, and on Hoodoo Psychics. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. For all of us at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, myself, Reverend James, and Deb, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Facebook and Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at this same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everyone. Good night.